Have you ever wondered what goes on while you're asleep during a surgery, or who is really keeping you alive? Well, I have wondered the same thing. Hello, I'm Frankie Falby, and I'm the son of Dr. Francis Falby Jr. and Jill Falby. I'm currently in high school, and I'm fascinated by astrophysics, medicine, and quantum mechanics. In my free time, I enjoy messing around with my mom and dad. Therefore, we have a good relationship. Today's episode on medical mysteries deals with interviews with my parents, who are an anesthesiologist and CRNA, Certified Registered Nurse Anesthetist. I am honored to be here and delve into the world of medicine with my mom and dad. I would first like to introduce my father, Dr. Frank Falby Jr., who is the anesthesiologist of the family. Then there is my mother, Jill Falby, who was a CRNA. Funnily enough, my father was the one who taught my mom during her residency. Throughout my childhood, I always was interested about how anesthesia worked. Sadly, the chemistry and biology behind anesthesia is not always the most straightforward. Today's podcast will cover why they became an anesthesiologist or CRNA, the schooling required to get into this line of work, the work environment, and finally, what's really going on while the patient is under anesthesia. To set the scene, it is a Sunday afternoon right after we had just gone out to eat dinner. Then I sit my parents down and I ask them,
well, I wanted to be an anesthesiologist because I first found that I loved being in the operating room. And that would limit you to being an anesthesiologist, a surgeon, or an obstetrician, an OBGYN doctor. And what I really like about being an anesthesiologist is you get to do a lot of procedures. You get to use a lot of medications. You get to see the immediacy of your involvement in the patient's case.
Okay, and I wanted to be a CRNA. I probably decided when I was an ICU nurse, right after graduating from nursing school, I went into ICU nursing, and I really enjoyed ICU nursing. And in intensive care nursing, you usually have two to three max. And I really enjoyed having the sicker patients with all the lines and being intubated and all that part of it, when it was really complex and there was a lot to do. And I knew in anesthesia, instead of being 2-to-1, so two patients to one nurse, in anesthesia, it's always 1-to-1. So I would just have one patient to care for. And that really interests me, just having one patient at a time to give all my attention to. So I would say that's why I chose anesthesia.
My parents always wanted to go into the field of medicine, but for my dad at least, his parents really pushed him to go into the field of medicine. But as you heard from himself, he really wanted to be in the OR, the operating room. And for my mom, she found out once she was already in nursing school what she really wanted to do. Next up, we will talk about what schooling is required to become an anesthesiologist or CRNA.
4 years of medical school and get your MD degree or DO degree, and 4 years of anesthesia training, your residency. And that's it for anesthesiology.
So for a CRNA or a nurse anesthetist, you have to have your bachelor's degree in science, and then you also have to be an RN, and then you have to work as an ICU nurse for at least 1 year. Then you apply to graduate school. You take, I think, the GRE, the graduate entrance exam, and you go, hopefully get accepted and go to anesthesia school it's now a 3-year program, and it is a doctorate. So when I went, it was a 2.5-year program at Baylor College of Medicine, and I got a master's degree in nurse anesthesia, they called it. But now it's a 3-year program, so I'm grandfathered in.
After they told me how long the schooling was, it kind of discourages me from going into medicine. But now I wonder, how is the work environment?
Well, I guess the work environment in the operating room is maybe much like any other work environment in business, but it's a very compact area where you have one patient and there's a lot of people who have got different roles to play. and they all have to play them together in harmony, and it can be at times very stressful. And but like the rest of the world, it seems like you can have really good days where everyone gets along and everything is going well, and then there's other days where, depending on the case that you're doing, can be very, very trying, very difficult, and very stressful.
I would say overall the work environment is stressful. Because unfortunately, instead of really always just focusing on the patient, there's also this aspect of being productive and efficient, and time is money. And although as nurses and doctors, typically we really just want to take the best care of the patient we can, the system wants us to do it in a fast way so they can see more patients and make more money. So I find it stressful.
After hearing how stressful the work environment is, I am now very discouraged to go into medicine, even though it's still one of my interests. Finally, I asked him the question that's been on my mind the whole time. What really happens to the body under anesthesia?
Jill, you start this.
Okay, well, I don't... So when you go under anesthesia, a general anesthetic, typically we start off with the first medication being an anxiolytic, typically like midazolam, which is a benzodiazepine. And it just, what we say is, we're going to give you a medication that's going to make you feel like you had a couple margaritas. And it just relaxes the patient. Then we typically, at that point, take them back to the operating room, wheel them in, and we give them a medication, which everybody's heard about now, fentanyl, which is an opioid. It's an analgesic to help reduce any pain. Then we go ahead and give lidocaine and propofol, and that basically puts the brain to sleep at that time. And once the patient and the brain is asleep, then we administer a paralytic agent. So a typical one is succinylcholine or rocuronium, and that paralyzes all the muscles in the body. And that way we're able to intubate them with an endotracheal tube. And then once they're intubated and we're breathing for them with the endotracheal tube to the ventilator on our anesthesia machine, then we turn on the inhaled anesthetic gases, which keep them asleep throughout the case. And then we have the inhaled anesthetic gases going the whole time, in addition to the additional pain meds and muscle relaxant throughout the case. And then when the case is over and their surgery is done, we just turn it all off, reverse the muscle relaxant, and wake them up and pull the breathing tube out.
Yep. And basically anesthesia, the practice of anesthesia, is really incorporates hypnosis, putting the patient to sleep, amnesia, so you don't have recall of the events surrounding the surgery itself, and analgesia, which is taking away the pain, so that you take away the pain during surgery and hopefully have enough medicine circulating in the patient's system so that when they wake up from surgery, they can be somewhat comfortable. Even though pain is a subjective property, your body gives us indication as to how much you may require by watching your vital signs and other parameters. And so we're able to make some judgments as to your pain requirements following surgery and about the time you wake up.
Overall, I learned a lot about the world of medicine. I learned how it is not what it used to be. Outside of recordings, I asked many more questions. One of the fun ones was, who plays the music while in the OR? Turns out, as my dad said, it is the surgeons. It turns out there is also a power struggle or divide between anesthesiologists and surgeons, meaning they do not have the best relationship. My dad describes surgeons as arrogant, egotistical, and self-centered. I wonder how the surgeons would describe anesthesiologists, though. Thank you for listening to today's episode on Medical Mysteries with Frankie Fowley.